Love one another as I have loved you. This is the highest commandment of love. Jesus persistently preaches love. Remember, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. But this love one another as I have loved you is the highest possible commandment of love. Because Christ sets the standard. You look at the crucifix and you see what he means. Love one another with a redemptive love. With a love that doesn't count the cost. With a love that's truly and totally unconditional. How much do we love? How do we love? Do we truly love as Christ calls us to? I'll share with you one of my favorite stories, again, the product of email, and this is the title of it, Schmilly. My grandparents were married for over half a century and played their own special game from the time they had met each other. The goal of their game was to write the word Schmilly in a surprise place for the other to find. They took turns leaving Schmilly around the house, and as soon as one of them discovered it, it was their turn to hide it once more. They dragged Schmilly with their fingers through the sugar and flour containers to await whoever was preparing the next meal. They smeared it in the dew on the windows overlooking the patio where my grandma always fed us warm homemade pudding with blue food coloring. Schmilly was written in the steam left on the mirror after a hot shower, where it would reappear bath after bath. At one point, my grandmother even unrolled an entire roll of toilet paper to leave Schmilly on the very last sheet. There was no end to the places Schmilly would pop up. Little notes with Schmilly scribbled hurriedly were found on the dashboard and car seats and taped to steering wheels. The notes were stuffed inside shoes and left under pillows. Schmilly was written in the dust upon the mantel and traced in the ashes in the fireplace. This mysterious word was as much a part of my grandparents' house as the furniture. It took me a long time before I was able to fully appreciate my grandparents' game. Skepticism had kept me from believing in true love, one that is pure and enduring. However, I never doubted my grandparents' relationship. They had love down pat. It was more than their flirtatious little games. It was a way of life. That relationship was based on a devotion and passionate affection which not everyone is lucky to experience. Grandma and Grandpa held hands every chance they could. They stole kisses as they bumped into each other in their tiny kitchen. They finished each other's sentences and shared the daily crossword puzzle and word jumble. My grandma whispered to me about how cute my grandpa was, how handsome and old he had grown to be. She claimed that she really knew how to pick him. Before every meal, they bowed their heads and gave thanks, marveling at their blessings, a wonderful family, good fortune, and each other. But there was a dark cloud in my grandparents' life. My grandmother had breast cancer. The disease had first appeared 10 years earlier. As always, Grandpa was with her every step of the way. He comforted her in their yellow room, painted that way so she could always be surrounded by sunshine, even when she was too sick to go outside. Now, the cancer was again attacking her body. With the help of a cane and my grandfather's steady hand, they went to church every morning. But my grandmother grew steadily worse, until finally she could not even leave the house anymore. For a while, Grandpa would go to church alone, praying to God to watch over his wife. Then one day, what we all dreaded finally happened. Grandma was gone. Shmilly. It was scrawled in yellow on the pink ribbons of my grandmother's funeral bouquet. As the crowd thinned and the last mourners turned to leave, my aunts, uncles, cousins, and other family members came forward and gathered around Grandma one last time. Grandpa stepped up to my grandmother's casket, and taking a shaky breath, he began to sing to her. Through his tears and grief, the song came, a deep and throaty lullaby. Shaken with my own sorrow, I will never forget that moment, for I knew that although I could not begin to fathom the depths of their love, I had been privileged to witness its unmatched beauty. Shmilly, S-H-M-I-L-Y. See how much I love you. See how much I love you. Thank you, Grandma and Grandpa, for letting me see. P.S. The best shmilly ever shown was written on the cross at Calvary. God gave us the biggest shmilly when his son died on Good Friday and rose on Easter. Shmilly, the call of love. Constantly in our lives, God is leaving us messages of love. See how much I love you. Every grace in our life, every pain, every suffering, every joy is a shmilly from God, calling us to see and appreciate his love. The love of Christ consists, first of all, in truly listening. To truly listen to the message of love he's sending us. In the joy and the goodness in the person in our life that is the clearest beacon of love. In my life, it was always my mother. More than any person that I ever knew, she radiated that unconditional love of God. She made me feel and realize I was loved. And that's the beginning of love. That's the core base of love. To listen to the message of Jesus as he says to us, you are precious to me and I love you. That first appears, and the first time I recall hearing it so clearly, in Isaiah 43:4. You are precious to me and I love you. And I give men in exchange for you and peoples in exchange for your soul. A clear statement of God's love. You look at the crucifix and you see the statement of that love again in action. See how much I love you. Every phase of our life, if we really look back and see all the times God has rescued us, we can now listen and hear, see how much I love you. The shmilly of God. And it's in that realization of God's love for us, in that hearing it, seeing it, sensing it, being aware of it, that we go on to the second phase of the call of love. Love not only listens to the love of God, love also opens hearts. First of all, it opens our own heart when we realize God's love for us. Look at Mary Magdalene. A life steeped in sin. But because she saw and heard the message of God's love through Jesus Christ, she went on to become a great saint, one of his most devoted followers. She was with the women who were the last to be with him at his crucifixion. She was with the women, and she was, in fact, the first woman cited in the gospel to whom Christ appeared. See how much I love you. Once we truly hear that message and watch for it, just like this old couple, we can begin to spread that message. We can begin to plant our own shmillies for people to find. See how much I love you. The message God wants us to hear and to realize and to open hearts with. Not only our own heart, but the hearts around us. Who most needs their heart to be opened in your life? The person that is most difficult for you to love. The person who's most frustrating, most irritating. Because it's that person who is most out of touch with their own lovableness. A little girl was being visited by her grandmother, and she had all of her dolls around her, and her grandmother asked her, she said, "Mary, what's your favorite doll?" And she said, "Grandma, promise me you won't laugh if I tell you." And her grandmother promised, and then Mary held up the most ugly and tarnished and torn doll she had, and her grandmother said, "Really, well, why do you love her so much?" And the little girl said, "Because she needs my love the most." In our life, we open hearts by revealing the love of God and our own love to people who just don't seem lovable. If we truly listen to the call of love, if we truly begin to open our heart and try to open other hearts through love, it will bring us to confront the reality of what do we value in life. There was an old Carmelite nun that I knew very well. And the Mother Superior, who I talk to on the phone regularly, was sharing with me something very special she said not too long ago. Constantly I'm bombarding the Carmelites with tragic things to pray for. And I had just left the last message before that of something that had gone even worse that they were praying for. And the reaction of the old nun at the bad news of how, despite all their prayers and suffering for this intention, things seemed to be getting worse, she said very profoundly, "The price of souls is up. The price of souls is up." Love calls us to consider, what do we really value? Do we value just what pleases us, just what we see to be the best agenda? Or do we value the special place that suffering holds in our life? Brother Hardin is constantly saying, the greatest joy in life is to suffer for the one you love. How much we need to be open to that. How much we need to value love enough to struggle through and journey through the hard times, the times when our earthly beloveds are difficult, confrontational, critical, complaining. To really love them enough to see beyond that, to see the glimmer of the resurrection in them, to see the glimmer of God's goodness and love shining through them even when they're really down, really hurtful. But the final phase of the call of God's love is to embrace. To embrace His love and to embrace all that God calls us to. On Calvary we have three responses to suffering. The thief on the left, escape. If you're the Son of God, get us down from these crosses. The natural human reaction to suffering, but not the response of love. The thief to the right, finally beginning to see in the heroic suffering of Christ the reality of his life. As he says to the other thief, "Shut up, we're getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." His answer, instead of escape, becomes endure. To tough through the suffering out of love. But Jesus in the middle gives us the highest response to suffering. The response of pure love. The response of embrace. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Redemptive love. Embracing the beloved even when the beloved is the very one causing our pain. A saving love. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Our Lord today wants us during this retreat to look at, to consider, to evaluate, to reflect upon His command, His highest command. Love one another as I have loved you. With a redeeming love, with a saving love, with a love that is not focused on self-gain, but a love that is truly focused on the beloved. Each of us has the common beloved of Jesus Christ. But all of us also have earthly beloveds. You who are married have your spouse as the ultimate earthly beloved that you are to really cherish and work on loving. Love is not just a feeling. It's not just an attraction to the pleasant, though it begins that way. Love is a decision. a commitment of the will. And how beautifully this old couple in the Shmili story worked on it steadfastly, enthusiastically, creatively, all of their lives. How much they were focused on the person of the other rather than the situation of the moment. Shmili, see how much I love you. Let us look for and plant God's messages of Shmili all about us. Everything that happens in our life is a stroke in the paintbrush of God saying, see how much I love you.
Copies of this talk are available from the Institute on Religious Life, P.O. Box 41007, Chicago, Illinois 60641, or call area code 773-267-1195.